So last week we kind of jumped ahead in the Gemara, and today we're going to pull back, and then next week we'll go forward again, right? Because last week we talked about Tavra Vishasya, we talked about the Machlokas Tinaktsosa and the Nasivos, and we demonstrated that, right, there's a fundamental debate going on there as to what is the definition of Geneva, right? That the Ktsosa of the opinion that Geneva is taking something from the property of the victim, right? And that therefore he thinks that you can only do that once by definition, whereas the Nasivos, and it seems like, you know, all the Rishonim and, you know, Shas, think that that really theft is more of a distancing someone from their object, right? You know, he was talking about adding on to your Geneva. So nafkamina of that was, you know, the fact that you could have a theft after a theft, and that's how he was understanding Tavra Vashasya, was when you steal something and then you break it. So that is now a second act of theft, because first I took it from him, and now I've destroyed any possibility he'll have to ever get it back. So that was a second Maisa Geneva, furthering my assault on his property. So with that, we can go back to the original line in the Gemara, which we read last week. So I don't think we need to spend too much time on the Gemara. Right, but the Gemara starts with the line of Rav. And Rav says, right, Gufam Rav, Karen Kin Shaganav, Teshlumi Kefel, Teshlumi Arba V'chamisha, Kesha Samad Bedin. So Rav makes a distinction between when you're going to pay, when we're going to evaluate the various payments that a thief has to pay. Right, there are up to three payments that a thief may pay. He'll pay the keren, which is just the original principal. He'll pay the kefel, which is the penalty of, right, double what he stole. I'm going to take the straw. And dal beheir, if he steals a sheep or a cow and slaughters or sells it, then he will pay four or five times that. So Rav says, right, if you stole it in January and now you're being brought to court in July, so when we evaluate the stolen object will depend on which penalty we're talking about. If we're talking about the keren, then we go back to its original value. If we talk about the kefel dal beheir, we go to its new value now at the time of Hamada Bidin, whatever exactly that means. And then, right, we drew it on the board where the Gemara tried to figure out when exactly Rav was applying his law so that he wouldn't contradict what we know from other cases. And we had in the end was specifically when it started off with a high value and it ends up with a low value. So that is when Rav said that we will restore the Karen to its original expensive value, whereas the kefil and the dal behei will only be evaluated on the new lower value. Right, that's ad kan the Gemara. So now we're going to break into this, and a key question which comes out of analyzing Rav is going to be, how exactly do we look at the relationship between the keren and the kefil dal behei? Right, are these all just various payments that the thief has to pay, or are these stemming from different conceptual models? What exactly is the thief doing in all these cases? So, right, there are two basic questions that we've got to ask right off the bat on Rav, right? One, right, Rav Lichtenstein likes to talk about the primary questions and the secondary questions. So the secondary questions, for example, is, right, when you have a seeming contradiction. So the secondary question we have to ask in this sugya is asked right away by Tosfos in the beginning of Dibur Maskil Gufa. Right, where Tosfos asked what? You know what Tosfos' question was? Yeah, Jacob?
Tosfos' question was, what's Rav's fetish?
Exactly. Why? What's the problem?
So the problem is that what Rav said is basically explicitly stated by the Mishnah that we read, which is like a whole document.
Yeah, right, you jump ahead to Tzadi, Gimel, and Beis, I think it was, right, the beginning of the ninth parak of Bava Kama, right, called Hagozel Eitzim. Sometimes called Hagozel Kama, because the tenth parak also starts with Hagozel, right, so we have the first Hagozel and the second Hagozel. And the Mishnah starts off by telling us right off the bat, Ze HaKlal Kol HaGazlanim Mishalmin Kishas HaGzela, right, here's the rule, all thieves pay based on the time of theft, right, so... What new thing is Rav telling me when he says that I pay the keren ki'in shaganav? Wasn't that already exactly in the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel Amid Beis, right?
Isn't there an assumed distinction between Genev and Gazela?
Excellent. So that's exactly what the Tosfos Rid is going to argue.
Not the Tosfos on the dot?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Just Does that mean Tosfot on the Daf does not see a distinction between Gazelle and Gedeva?
I mean, we'll it's a good question. It's hard to tell because we'll see what the Tosfos Rid's answer is. We'll see what the problem with the Tosfos Rid's answer is, and therefore, even if you like the distinction between Gedeva and Gazela, you may not be able to apply it in this case over here. Mm-hmm. Right, but that's like your secondary question, which is, isn't Rav saying something that's already, you know, an explicit, and not only a Mishnah, and not only is it explicit in Shas, but it's explicit in a Mishnah, and it's a Zeh HaKlal, right? It's like, you know, it's one thing to miss the first page of the New York Times, it's another thing to miss the headline, the banner headline up on top, right? That shouldn't be happening. So that's problem number one. Question number two, which isn't a problem, it's more of a question, it is, right, so Rav is telling us two things, right? He's telling us the Karen goes based on the original value, the Kefel, Dalet and Hay, go based on the value of Hamad Bedin. So, which one of those two things did Rav think was a chiddush, right? Is one of these a chiddush? Are both of these chiddushim? Or are neither of these chiddushim, right? He's telling us two separate things, and we want to figure out, you know, which one of these does Rav think is something that I wouldn't have thought otherwise. Now, where does Rav get his law based on?
Pasuk.
He quotes a pasuk, right? So he quotes a drasha, which is, right, the pasuk had said, So what's the drasha that Rav comes up with?
Yeah, I guess between something and Chaim.
Yeah, Geneva and Chaim. Right, so Geneva and Chaim tells me what?
That you have to restore that which you stole to Ke'en Shagada.
Right, however...
However,
I have to restore what I stole in Shaganov, however.
Probably that only applies to the Karen.
Yeah, right. So which one of these two things is... Whenever you have a Gzer Sechasev, so you think that something here is probably a Chiddush, right? That's why you have to resort to a Drasha. So is Rav's Chiddush on part A, or is Rav's Chiddush on part B? Right? Which... What?
It depends who you ask.
It depends who you ask. Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, that's why we have Rishonim in learning. Yeah, they're our friends. Right, so these are like the two basic questions that we're asking when we approach the Gemara. Now, when you look at the drasha, and this is going to be important, is this one of those drashas which is like easily understandable, or is this one of those drashas which is kind of confusing? Yeah, it's why do you say that?
Because it doesn't. It's not intuitive that the Karen should be Shagana because of Chayim.
Yeah, what's the actual top subject of the pasuk?
Kefal.
Subject of the pasuk is Kefal. So, if we say that Rav's chiddush is based on the Karen, right? And that's a little bit funny because the pasuk is talking about Kefal. Actually, you could tell that there's something funny with the drasha because, right? So, is anybody here familiar with the Ksav v'Kabbalah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you know about him?
I don't know
anything about. Okay. So he's. He's like of the generation, I think, of Rav Hirsch. He's like 19th century. I'm pretty sure he's even German. Rav Hirsch, the Malbim, the Ksav HaKabbalah, they all have the same basic methodology, which is they're trying to explain the relationship between the Pesukim and the Drashos and Tarash Baal Peh, right? The Tarash Rasav, Tarash Baal Peh, that's why his work is called the Ksav, the Kabbalah. So he's just a fun person, or, you know, a useful person to look up when you're trying to see, you know, how is he... How do we look at the relationship between the pasuk and the drasha? And you know, he's got pretty good stuff. You could tell that here he's stretching to come up with an explanation of Rav's drasha, because when he explains the pasuk, he doesn't say the actual halacha. When he explains the pasuk, he says, yeah, and as we know, right, so the pasuk is telling me that I pay the keren and the kefel in Shaganov. Right, that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, you know, Geneva, Kefel, Chaim. So Karen and Kefel both go in Shaganov, which is, you know, great. The only problem is it's not what Rav actually said. Right, Rav said that you only pay the Karen in Shaganov, not the Kefel, not the Dalet v'Hay. Right. So just to recap, number one, Rav seems to contradict a Mishnah, so that's a problem. Number two, Rav is making a drasha, and we're just not sure. You know, presumably Rav is saying something with Chudash. We're not sure which half of what he's saying is with Chudash. And third, we should just note that his drasha is, you know, look, he's allowed to make drashas which aren't intuitive, but we should note that this drasha is not intuitive, and I think that's going to be important when we take a look at Tosfos. Okay, so that's it. Any questions before we start in the Rishon? No? Awesome. Okay. So Tosfos jump in, right, and Tosfos start by asking, what is going on? Isn't this the same as the Mishnah? In Bava, in Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. So, and then they talk some more, right? So does anyone want to pick up with the Yesh Lomar on the second wide line? See what their answer is. All right, I mean, yeah, Jacob, go for it. Yesh Lomar, right? Second wide line on the... Tosos, Yesh Lomar, Deikar, Rav, yeah.
All right, Yesh Lomar, Deikar, Rav, Lo Atala, Shmuin, Ela, Tashlomi, Kepa, Tashmei, Arba, Chamisha, Shasam, Adab, Adin. So the real Chedesh of Rav is Kepa, Tashlomi, Arba, Chamisha, or Shasam, Adab, Adin. Ha, the Kamar, my time at the Rav. And when it says, my time at the Rav, Atashlomi, Kepa, Tashlomi, Arba, Chamisha, Kabai. When it's asking what's Rav's reasoning, it's talking about this.
Right. Now, what's the problem with that? Is how does that fit back into the Gemara? Because the Gemara asked, my time to Rav, and the Gemara said...
Well, so he does the Gnei V'chaim, and then it says Karen Kain Shigama.
Yeah, so in the Gemara, Rav only mentions the Karen.
Well...
Right? So Tosa say, the way you read the Gemara is it's like the dog that didn't bark, right? That, you know, only the Karen goes Kein Shaganav, right? And Rav's real Chiddush is actually that Kefel, Dalet and Hay go based on the time of Shas Hamada Bedin. By the way, why do I keep on calling it Shas Hamada Bedin and not saying an English verb? Yeah, what are our two basic possibilities that we've got?
When he's convicted.
What?
When he's brought to court
and when he's convicted. So I don't think those are the two. I think if you talk about court, I think it's just when he's convicted.
You say when he's convicted or when, like, the thing that he stole breaks or dies.
Yeah, correct, right? That's the other position, is when he shechts, right? When he destroys the be'in, is our other possibility, right? So there are three stages here. One stage is he steals it. Stage two is he destroys the object. And stage three is he's brought to court and convicted. So right, Rishon and I are going to argue whether Shas Hamad Bedin refers to the destruction of the Be'in, or whether it refers to being brought in court, or whether it refers to both. Right?
Why would the time of destruction of the object be called Shas Hamad Bedin?
That's a great question, and I do not know.
I don't know. Maybe you could say that for Dalet and Hay, at least, right? That's like when it kicks in, and then once you do that, so...
Yeah, I suppose, which is like it's a fancy explanation,
right?
Which you're probably right, but, if you were writing like a Cincino translation, that's not what you would have put into the Gemara, but that's probably, you're probably right, on that point. Okay, so anyway, so now, let's just, you know, take one more line of Tosfos, right?
Yeah, so, Amar Krog, Achai, Ela Karen Kain Shigara. That's terrific. Mosh Malay, Dafka Le Karen.
Exactly. Right. So the Chiddush to say Tosos, the Chiddush is that Dal V'Hei goes based on Shamas Hamad Bedin. We always knew that Karen is paid in Shaganav. We just didn't know about Kefal Dal V'Hei, and turns out that's a Chiddush that goes based on the time of Hamad Bedin. Now we would ask, well, how could Rav's Chiddush be about Dal V'Hei? After all, the drasha was on Karen. So, look, in a sense, Tosas's answer kind of makes the drasha a little bit more, a little bit easier to accept. I saw someone who said this. I don't remember who it was. Right, because now Rav's, the Torah, the pasuk is talking about Kefal, and Rav's chiddush was about Kefal. Right, so that kind of, you know, just it maps up a little bit. Tosas are being dachak a little bit in the language of the Gemara, but at least they have the advantage, on the other hand, of having an easier time with the drasha. Okay, so Tosas think that I know for sure that Karen goes based on the time Ken Shaganov, the Chiddush was Kefel Dalden Hay. So why would I assume is obvious that Karen Ken Shaganov? Right, let's put out there the basic svar for Karen Ken Shaganov. What do we think that's going to be?
Repay what you stole.
Yeah, exactly, right? I have to, so when I give back, let's put it this way. When I steal something, this is like a critical point, you know, when we talk about Shinoi and so on and so forth, so I just got this down. When I steal something, so by definition, I have incurred two different chiyuvim, right? On one hand, I need to return the object that I stole, right, which we call the chiyuv hashava, right? What is pasuk? Right? So I have to return what I stole. After all, it does not belong to me. And number two is, what do I have to do besides return the object? What other chiyuv is do I incur when I steal? Let's say I now owe the guy money, right? There's not just an obligation to return the object. There's also a financial obligation. Right? I just stole, you know, if this were the $100, so I have to return the water bottle, and I also have to return the $100 that I stole, right? So, you know, when you return the water bottle, you kill two birds with one stone, but those are two different chiyuvim, right? So, for example, if you destroy the water bottle, then you can't say, oh, well, you know, I can't fulfill my chiyuv hashava, so sorry, I get off the hook. It's ridiculous, right? There's also a chiyuv tashlumin. And that's why the Rambam says, right, that why is there no malchus for gazela? What does the Rambam say? He says there are two reasons why there's no malchus for gazela.
Because you can return it. Well, you can
right. So number one, he says it's a lav shenita klase, right? It's a negative commandment tied to a positive commandment, i.e. Giving back the object. And even if you can't give back the object, says the Rambam, it's a lav shenitan l'tashlumin, because you can pay back the monetary sum that you owe, right? So those are two different things going on.
Does that apply now, by Geneva or only Geneva?
It's a great question. The Rambam only has a mitzvah of Hashava in Gazela. And Rav Chaim gets excited about this, and that's how they love to talk. The briskers all love to say that within the Rambam, and they're probably right, that there's a fundamental difference between Geneva and Gezela, and this will be important when we get to the Tosfos Reads, so we just put this on the page right now. What they say in the Rambam is that Geneva is really about the act of theft, whereas Gezela is about deprivation of property, you could say. Right? So deprivation of property, that could be undone, right? I take your stuff away, I give it back to you. That's why there's a mitzvah of Hashava. Right? But when it comes to Geneva, so, you know, the Aveira is to steal, the act of theft, I can't go back in time, right? I can't undo my act of theft, my Maisa Geneva. And that's why they explain the Rambam thinks there's no mitzvah to return the object in the world of Geneva. After all, the Pasuk says, it is, but... what is the pasuk? The pasuk is Veheshev Esek Zela Asher Gazal. There's no pasuk Veheshev Esek Neva Asher Ganav, right? So the Rambam is going to say, don't yell at me. I'm just being a careful reader of the pesukim, and the briskers are going to say, don't yell at us. We're just being careful readers of the Rambam. But we'll see when we get to Tosfos Reads. We'll see that there's spread to this idea. But for our purposes right now, so when I return the Karen, so Pashtus, we're focusing on my restoring the object to the owner, right? After all, it's the Karen. So either I return the object to the owner, and you could say, let's say the object is gone, and I have to pay him. So what I pay him is really a substitute for the object itself, right? I had to return the stolen object. If it's gone, then I give him a substitutionary payment, right? It's like in... Meiser Sheni, where you're supposed to bring the fruits, you can change in your fruits and bring in cash to your Shalayim instead. And with that all being the case, it makes a lot of sense to say that that the time for determining the value of the Karen could be Shas Geneva, because what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to just return what I took, right? And I took something that was worth $100, so if I'm returning what I took, then I should be simply returning... Karen Kin Shaganov, and that's going to be why the Mishnah in the ninth parak said this as Zehaklal, right? Most of Rishonim think that this is indeed the case, that it is an elementary svara that Karen Kin Shaganov. Question I want to ask is, what about Dal Behe, right? Is Dal Behe a Chiddush, or is Dal Behe also based on a svara, right? This idea of paying Dal Behe and Kefel, Kishas, and Adabedin. Is that a chedesh or is that a svara? Now, the truth is, those are two separate points, right? Kefel and dal behe are different. Those are two different penalties. So, if there's a chedesh in kefel, dal, and hay, is it a chiddush in kefel and in dalet and hay? Or is there a difference even between kefel versus dalet and hay? Maybe one of those is a chiddush, and one of those is obvious. And maybe, in fact, they have different different laws, right, that we need to consider consider as well. So,
can there be implicit further separation between dalet and hay?
I don't think so. Dalet is just if it's a sheep, and hay is if it's a cow. I don't think there are any differences between those two.
Well, the reason why, there's clearly, the reasons are different. Could be the same principle, but
I mean, the Gemara gives a couple of reasons why we're more machmir on cows than on sheep.
Yeah.
Right. Does anyone remember what those were? They're interesting.
Yeah.
One is pro ganav and one is anti ganav.
Embarrassing
the pro-Ganav one is that he embarrassed himself schlepping the sheep, so he gets a discount. And the anti-Ganav one is
there's more.
Right, exactly. I inflicted more damage on the owner because his cow is, he needs his cow for his farm. So therefore, we penalize him more. Those are two different explanations in the Gemara. So in the Maror comments, I split them up into two. The truth is, we probably should do it all as one. So just to get on the record, we won't delve into it yet because really his real chidushim are elsewhere. But did anybody here see the Tosfos Rid?
Mm-hmm.
If you did, okay. So according to Tosfos Rid, what's the chiddush of Rav on the Karen or on the Dal and Hay? So. Right, but he said, in other words, what is the drasha? Tosa say the drasha of Achi and the Karen Kin Shaganav teaches me that only Karen Kin Shaganav and the Chiddush is that Dalet and Hay are Shas Mad Bedin.
Right.
Tosa Rid says, what's the Chiddush of Achi and the Karen Kin Shaganav?
That Karen
is Kin Shaganav. The Chiddush is Karen is Kin Shaganav. Why is that a Chiddush? Isn't that obvious, as we said a second ago? So Tosa Rid has this really cool idea.
Not that way by Gazela.
Right. So he thinks we're only talking in Geneva, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the idea of Ach Ye LeKaren Ken Shaganav, he says when it comes to Geneva, what the Torah is Mechadish, is that even if I still have the object be'in, right? And so, the water bottle is worth half what it used to be worth. So I am returning it to its owner. Nonetheless, Achi LeKaren Ken Shaganav means revive the Karen to its prior status and pay him an extra $50. So even if you have the object be'in, argues the Tosfos Rid, the Chiddush of Rav was that you still must pay him the extra value, which is remarkable because let's say I had never stolen from the person, so he would have the object the entire time, so he would have now a $50 water bottle. I am now returning him his $50 water bottle. Nonetheless, says Tosfos Rid, the Chiddush of Achi LeKaren Ken Shaganav is that I must make him whole based on the time he was way back when. So I must pay him an extra $50. That's the Chiddush of Achi LeKaren Ken Shaganav, and that was certainly not taught in the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel and Mebeis in the ninth paragraph of Bava Kamma. So those are just the two basic, as far as our secondary question, how to resolve Rav with the seemingly redundant Mishnah on Tzadik Gimel. So Tosas say, no problem, Rav is talking about Kefal Dal. Hey, Tosas Rid says, no, right, Rav is talking about Karen of Geneva as opposed to Karen of Gazela. Karen of Gazela, the Mishnah said, you just return what you stole. Karen of Geneva, I have to make him whole, i.e. even, pay him based on what his object was worth, even when I return the object. Okay? Is that part clear or not? Because it might not be.
I think to me it only really makes sense if you kind of assume that objects are always changing in value. And that, so you're returning, you want to give back what you stole, and so, fine, you return the physical object you stole, but that value is probably different from what you initially stole.
Okay.
Yeah, so to me, I think made the Tosfos Rid a little more swallowable. It seems to be one of the assumptions he's resting upon, because how else would it make sense that there's a distinction between the stolen object and the value that you've stolen.
Yeah, Correct. Well, why do I have to imagine that things are always changing? Oh, you're saying, in other words, the more I emphasize the fact that the value of things change,
yeah,
the easier it is to divorce the object itself from its value.
Exactly.
Because its value is always fluctuating. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Question.
What's the whole thing with Kato and Tesla's?
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll delve into it soon. I just wanted to get that on the point. Right? Just as far as handling the basic question of which part of Rav was, what was Rav's actual drasha? Was Rav's drasha on Kehel Dalam Hay, or was Rav's drasha on Karen? Right? So we have two approaches out there, and we have two ways of resolving the problem from the Mishnah. Now we can focus on what is Rav's actual Svara. Is there a Svara in Rav? Is there a Chedesh? What exactly is going on? Right? So we said already that when it comes to Karen Kenshaganov, I understand the Svara. The Svara is Karen is returning the object that I stole, right? And therefore, it should go based on the time that I stole it, right? All I'm doing is, returning what I had taken originally. Does anybody think that there is no Svara for Karen Kenshaganov? Does anybody think that the whole thing is a drasha?
Like,
the whole thing is the Zerah Kasif.
Personally?
Could be. So that was Tosfos, the small Tosfos on Samachema base. Right, Baba Kama clearly has like a mishmash of different Tosfosin. Even Tosfos in Parents has a mishmash of different Tosfosin, so we'll run into contradictions between different Tosfos, and that's going to be okay. Right, so the Tosfos on Samachema base say there that without having a drasha, I wouldn't have known when anything was. Right, as says the Tosfos there, right? We don't have to get into the details of how he gets to this, but Tosfos very clearly think that, the only reason why I'm making any distinctions between Kefel and Dal and Hay versus Karen is because of the Pasuk, and otherwise I wouldn't have known my left from my right, right? So I need the Pasuk to teach me even Karen Ke'in Shaganav. Now, that's a little bit strange, because Karen Kachaganov, I thought, was obvious, right? The Svara is pretty compelling. The argument that you're simply returning what you took, that's what paying back the Karen is, makes a lot of sense. Now all of a sudden, this Tosus, and there's a position that Shinigo Betz as well, that says, that's not the case, right? That says, without Rav, I wouldn't have known Karen Kachaganov, I wouldn't have known Kefel, Dalton Hek, Shasan Ludin, I would have had no idea when you value anything based on, unless I had this Pasuk, which tells me everything. So the Pasuk is great, but why is this all a chiddush, right? So, Rosenzweig has an explanation for it, which I think it makes the most sense, is that, right, we talked about the fact that you incur two different obligations when you steal, right? You have your obligation to return, and you have your obligation to pay back, right? Those are two different things. I would have assumed that those both occur at the same time, right? When I steal, I've done two different things, and therefore both chiyuvim are active. And when I give back the object, that discharges me from my obligation to repay it. Right? Does that make sense? Maybe I'll write this down on the board because it'll probably be a little easier. Is that marker good for boarding? Awesome.
Yeah.
Look at
it. It says drivers on it. I can't read it.
Okay. So we have. We have Chiyuv Achzara. And we have. Okay, so when I steal, right, so I would have thought that when I steal, both of these occur simultaneously, right? Gneva, and then when I return the cow, so that will automatically discharge me from having to do this obligation, right? Because I've, when I give back the cow, it's just killing two birds with one stone. Does that make sense? Okay.
Why? And then we just do one clear. Because you're doing one. Because it becomes the same time.
I have to give him his cow back.
Yeah.
And I owe him the cow for $100, right? Gotta give him his cow back, and I gotta pay him back $100. Well, I give him his cow. I've done everything, right? That's
So do you really have to clean them, or do you just have?
You don't have to clean, like, yeah.
If you're never gonna have to fulfill both of them, meaning you're killing two birds with one stone, you're never gonna have to use two stones. But it's really two clean of them. It's like a quantum clean.
There are two clean of them, but maybe. You're saying that they're not independent of each other necessarily. Right, if then there must be two chiyuvim, because if I killed a cow, I got a pen. Right? And it makes sense, because I did two things to him, right? I did take away his cow, I did lower his equity by $100. So
you also, yeah.
You're right, those are fundamentally linked to each other. And that's why when you pay, there's nothing like fancy here. When you pay back the cow, you return his cow, you also paid him back, and everything's great.
You haven't restored his equity.
What?
You haven't necessarily restored his equity.
When I give him his cow back?
Yeah.
Why not?
What about opportunity?
What?
It's not different value.
Uh-huh. So if the cow itself is just not as valuable as it was, and the cow market has changed, then sure I have. What difference does it make? If the cow had been in his possession the whole time, then his cow was worth $100. Now his cow is worth $80. Opportunity cost, maybe. But as far as setting that aside, which apparently we don't take into consideration, right? We're just, you know, we freeze him in time, right? We freeze him, right? Our T1, which was time of theft, and T2, which is time of repayment, right? So we're freezing T1 in time. That's just, you know, the assumption that we've got here.
I'm thinking if the cow is appreciated somehow, then, like,
yeah.
You still have to give back the cow.
Correct.
And I'm saying, like, I feel like any way you look at it, we're not going to benefit the Ghana. He can't gain financially from this action.
Well, we know that's not the case, because what did the Gemara say? If the Ghana, you know, put his heart and soul into fattening up the cow, then the Gemara says that he gets to, right, Ana Patimna V'at Shakal, I fatten up your cow and you get to keep all the fat. That's not fair to the Ghana. Okay. Anyway, I just don't want to get too fancy. I think, right, the question is, why on earth wouldn't you say that we will evaluate the Karen based on T1? After all, I'm returning what I stole. So the argument is going to be that as long as the object, really there's only one chiyuv. You guys like this, because it's actually, you know, what you're saying. There's only one chiyuv. When I steal the cow, there is a chiyuv hafzar, right? I have to return the cow. There's no chiyuv tashlumin. There's just a chiyuv to give the cow back. Once the cow is destroyed, right, i.e. I shecht the cow, and I can't return it, that will create a new tashlumin. Right? This didn't exist until I killed this. So therefore, when should we evaluate the chiyuv tashlumin based on? When I shecht the cow. Not based on T1, but based on T2. Right, and that is why that's why Tosos think that Karen Kenshaganov is a fish. Because I would have thought that I only return the cow and there's no monetary obligation until the bin is gone, right? It's not two chiyuvim at the same time as you guys are fighting against. I have a return obligation to return. When that obligation is wiped out, I have an obligation to pay back. But the obligation to pay back, right, since it only started at T2, it should be based on T2, right? So that's the chiddush they're going to have. Even though this chiyuv started at T2, it's based on T1.
Wait, is that far against the Rambam?
Explain.
Because the Rambam doesn't mention the chiyuv hafzara by Geneva.
It's a good question. I don't know. No. The Rambam didn't really have so much data for us in this whole sugya. I don't think I even gave any Rambams in this sugya. Like, it was hard to...
I mean,
yeah, which really is because we're more interested in the position of the Ravid than the position of the Rambam. Because the Rambam wasn't so great. Not the Rambam wasn't so great. The Rambam wasn't so helpful for understanding the other case. Anyway, right, so setting that aside, right, unless we take that assumption, which we could do, otherwise we'll assume that Karen Kenshaganav is a basic svar. What about kefal, dalid, and hey, keshas hamada bidin? Is that a svara or is that a chiddush? Yes. T T2 is the time that I, the time that I shafted the cow.
And so Amar Abedin is not, would not be that.
Okay, so you can, I shafted the cow slash Hamad Abedin. Hamad Abedin, T2 is Hamad Abedin. Whatever we're calling Hamad Abedin.
T2 just is not T1.
Exactly.
Well, we can
make this more complicated. But
then could be a,
profound.
Could be a T3.
Yeah, that totally could be.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to keep things simple because I want to move on. But yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, but Rosenzweig's understanding of the whole thing as intuitive only works if it's Mumschrita.
Correct. So that's why in that case T2 will be Schrita.
Okay.
Right.
But if Tashlumen only comes about after the object is destroyed,
yeah,
then in a regular case of just Kepha, where the object is still around,
mm-hmm.
you never slaughtered it,
mm-hmm.
then it would not be because you would just return the object. Because you never had a chiyuv of tashlumin.
Correct. So what's the problem?
So that's like a pretty big kedush rub, because then Karen isn't always Kain Jigans. If you're returning it, you're just returning the object and you're paying the... You're basically giving this one the current value. I mean, if I sell your barrel of wine for 4 zoos... and it goes down to 1, but I still have the barrel. When I give it back to you, you
right.
need 1 zoos. So it's not carrying Kain Shibata. It's carrying Kain Shibata Shibata's in.
Well, it's not, because I'm just giving you back your same old barrel.
We're talking about value here.
We're only talking about value. The assumption everyone's going to make, we're only talking about value when the object itself is gone. Right. Why are we evaluating the object? Just give the object back. We evaluate the object, and the object isn't here. Right? It's not here because I shafted it. So we'll say Karen Kitchaganov and Kefal Dalden Hay, Kshasmad Badin. This is important. Assuming the object is here, everyone except the Tosas Rid says you just give the object back. We don't have to evaluate the object for Karen purposes. Here's a Karen, right? The Karen's right here.
So what would happen if you had the barrel of wine locked in your safe and you forgot the code? So you installed it, it wasn't destroyed, but you have to now pay him some sort of other value. Meaning, are you paying based on, like, does the idea...
You're saying if the thief just loses the object.
No.
For all intents and purposes, that's your case.
Do you, yeah, I guess.
So then there's no dal and hay, because I didn't sheft it or sell it, and it's also a barrel of wine. So let's say it's the cow, I lost the cow. So there's no dal and hay. And then we'll say Karen Kein Shaganav Kefel Kashas Hamad Abedin. So if the cow was worth 100, now it's worth 50, I'll pay you 100 for the Karen, and I'll pay you 50 for the Kefel. And that's that. Right. Now, the so what do we have to say about the Knafas? What do we have to say about the Karen? What do we say about the Kefel? And what do we have to say about the Dal Behe? What is the Svara for charging Kefel Dalden Hay based on Shas? Let's be controversial. What's the svara for basing Kefel or Dalden Hay based on Shas Geneva? In other words, what's our Havamina that Rav is coming to reject?
I think just what we said before, Matt said before, the same svara for Karen Trinchigano, they're like, you repay what you stole, so you should have a fee or a fine or whatever it is on what you stole.
Excellent, right, exactly. If I closely link, you know, if I say that Karen means I pay it back, Kefel Dalden Hay means I paid double, right, so just double the Karen. Quadruple and quintuple the Karen, right? We'll see this coming up, there's a cool Rashi that we'll see. But what did the Pasuk say? The Pasuk itself says that, right, you give four or five cows replacing the one cow that you stole. So the Pasuk sounds like it's linking the Kefel Dalden Hay to the Karen. So that's one reason why I would think that they're fundamentally linked.
But
so that's
only once we've already established that Karen is considered.
Correct, which we're saying makes sense.
Yeah,
right? Assuming Karen makes sense, I wouldn't have a problem explaining the Chiddush of Kefel Dalden Hay. And point number two, you know, setting aside that, is maybe you just think, there has to be a machayev here, right? There has to be something I do which obligates me to pay. So, Geneva, shachting is a little bit complicated, but in the case of Kefel, what made me chayev in Kefel? Right? I was a good citizen, and then all of a sudden I became Chayiv and Kefal. What changed? What did I do? I stole something,
well,
right? So they
you were trying to pre-getting. It's more.
We'll talk about that in a second. But the pashtus is that the Maisa Gneva is the Machayev of Kefal, right? Because I didn't have to pay Kefal, and now I stole something, and now I do, right? So since the Gneva is what makes me pay the Kefal, maybe the Kefal should be based on when I pay. Now, what's going to be the response to that on a svar level? Why? Right, so maybe in a chanami and Rav's a chiddush, right? For one of the two things we just said. But what svara could I raise to explain either kefal and or dalad and hay going to shas hamad
v'din? Well, that when you
call. What?
When you steal, if you just return it right away, you don't have to pay kefal or dalad and
hay. Excellent. What's that principle based on? Okay, let's say even if I lost the object, there's still a way for me to get out of paying
Kefal. If you pay him back,
admitting it,
right?
Admit
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right? Why am I? If I admit to the penalty, why do I get off? Modib knas patur, right? Modib knas patur meaning shakash. Right, but so on a simple level, right, modu kas pater just means that if I admit to a penalty, then I get off the hook, right? So does it make a difference if, what if Adim show up afterwards, right? So that's a whole discussion. But, you know, just on a basic level, if I admit to owing a knas, I am pater. If I admit to owing a monetary sum, right, mamum, then I am chayev, right? That's the line of hadas baldin ke mea Adim dami. Right, so since I could always, there are two different ways to say this, and I'm just going to drill it up quickly. One is basically in the Shita Vesas, the one is in the Raivad. You could say there's an ego operating here. That since the Gan of, it's biyado, right, it's in the Gan's control to get out of paying the Kefal Dalmei, because he can always just admit it in court. Therefore, we can't say that he's really Chayiv in Kefal until Shas Hamad Bedin, which we'll translate as the conviction, because now he can't get out of it anymore, right? His migo has been destroyed. That's one reason to say that Rav makes sense on a svar level, because Karen, you're doomed to pay Karen as soon as you stole the object, because that's mamum and you can't get out of mamum. But knas, I can always get out of knas if I just admit it. Therefore, the knas will not be activated until you get convicted in court. Now it's too late, right? Your migo is gone. That was the position of Shuk Veses, and that's part of the position of the Rush. The Ravid says something different, and the Ravid says we should read inside because it's a fundamental yesod in Knessos. My computer turned off, but I sent you guys the PDF of it, and it's all if you don't have the Ravid PDF, it's also in the that same sheet that appears in the Ravid's attack on the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis. The Ravid says, you have the PDF open, you see right before this parentheses Yud Beis in the bottom left-hand corner of the sheet. Right, so the Gemara says, we are in the Hebrew Books org,
yeah.
14, right, so bottom left, you have Dav Samachai, and you have parentheses Yud Aleph, and then you have the next little paragraph. It's 2.5 liner.
Oh.
So, you got it? Yeah, do you have it?
Oh, left. Yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah. Right. All right. You gonna read it for us?
No. Wait. No? I literally still haven't found it.
Okay. Where have you got it? Aleki Amarav.
I'll read.
Exactly. Beit Din is what's machayev you. So this is a key point. What does he mean that the Bezdin is what's machayev you? What does it mean the court is what makes you chayev?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, otherwise you, like, the he who is not called to the court makes it so versus, I don't know how to explain it, but, like...
We can take it one step farther than that. Which is... What?
They create.
Excellent, exactly. But as they explain, why? How did they create the Chiyuv? I think we talked about this last year. I think.
Well, they create... Only they can...
Yeah, and more than that. We did talk about this, because last year we learned, right only a Bezdin of Smuchin can do Knossos, right?
So they create the...
When, how much money did I steal? You can't get the question wrong.
Oh, well, they...
How much money did I steal? Just how much money did I steal?
Oh, $10.
$10, okay. How much is Bezdin making me pay back?
20.
Okay, so fine. It was $10 cap. It's a good discount. Right, so how can Bezdin make me pay $20 or $50 if all I stole was $10? Where's that... That's what Knas is. Knas is something you don't actually owe, right, that we're making you pay. That's what a penalty is. Right, I just got a parking ticket yesterday. I did nothing to the city of New York, but now I got to pay $45. Right, that's a knas. So the knas isn't created by you, the thief. Right, the karen is created by you, the thief. Right, if you punch someone in the face and you got to compensate them, that's created by you punching the person in the face. Who creates the knas? Says that right. That's the rabbi's logic. Bezdin creates the knas because you didn't do anything to owe this amount of money. This amount of money is only coming from the psak din. Therefore, as a result of your knas only coming from the psak of Bezdin, if someone admits to the knas, they will be pater, because the only, right, the knas doesn't exist in a vacuum. Knas only exists when it comes from a conviction of the court. So if you are modbe knas, you cut that process off at the knees, you're going to be pater. And, says the Ravid, what's another nafkamina? Since the chi of knas is only generated by Bezdin, when are we going to evaluate the stolen object for purposes of paying back kefel and paying back dalet? Hey, just what they're in, which we'll translate as
what? At court.
At court, right? We'll translate other than literally, right? So those are the two different approaches you'll have to explain Rav on a svar level. So we understand the Havamina on a svar level. Again, the Havamina on a svar level was we should link kefel dalet and hey to Karen. We understand Ana Yumaskana what the svara level, either because just Migo, I could have gotten out of the Knas, or on a fundamental level, I think that Knasos are only generated by Bezdin. Right? Those are two approaches that you can take. Okay. Now all of what we said so far assumes that Kefel, Dalet, and Hay work together. Right. After all, Kefel is a knas, and Dalet and Hay is also a knas. Right. I only stole $100. Right. So if I focus on penalties being the difference maker, then there's no difference between Kefel and Dalet and Hay. Thing is that not all of the Rishonim actually said this. Right. And if you look carefully, some of the Rishonim are making distinctions between Kefel on one hand versus Dalet and Hay on the other. There were three in particular who did this. And let's at least tackle two of them. One was this Rabbi Yehonasan on the first page. The source number one. Right, it's Rabbi Yehonasan, who's in the Shidduch Gebetzes, and he's saying a lot of great stuff for us in the Shidduch Gebetzes. It looks like he's going to be our friend in this parak. So what does he say here? Let's read it carefully. Achila Karen Ken Shaganov. Right, so the word theft and the word alive were extra in the pasuk. Vidarshinan chayim b'gneiva. Right, so we explain what do those two words mean. You aliveify the theft. Kolomar, since that's not English, we need a kolomar. Ach yelekaren k'enshaganav. Right, restore the principal to its original value at the time of theft. Aval kefel lo mikri gneiva. But Kefel is not called a Geneva. Shaharei lo gunvo. After all, you didn't steal the Kefel, you just stole the cow. Mishum hachi, Kefel, v'arba v'chamisha, kashas handredin, harav Yehonasan, zal. So if you read Rabbi Yehonasan carefully, what would I have assumed throughout, and what would have been my erroneous hapamina? Yeah,
the erroneous hapamina is that Karen and Kefel would be the in the same group, and Dalad and Hay would be something else.
Exactly, right? All he mentions is, right, you would have thought that Kayfel goes, he doesn't mention this, but it's, you know, if you read it carefully, it's what he clearly said, thinks, you would have thought that Kayfel goes with Karen. No, really, Kayfel goes with Dalad and Hay. Just as a point of contrast, right, the next position right there in the Shita Gubeses, which is an anonymous Shita, went guns blazing and said that Kayfel and Dalad and Hay should go based on Shas Kaneva, right? So Rabbeinu Yonasan seems to have a Havamina that Kayfel should be alone. What is the svara for that? So from a when you're chayav level, right, the time you steal is when you're chayav Kayfel, right? And Dalad and Hay only kick in when you go and shech, right? So Kayfel is in fact more closely linked to the Karen, in a sense, than Dalad and Hay are, right? That seems to be what Rabbeinu Yonasan is thinking. In fact, the Rush, if you saw the Rush has this really weird shita, which the Tur, his son, actually paskins, and everyone tries to figure out why. The Rush thinks that you're going to pay your three different payments three different times, right? The Rush thinks you're going to pay your Karen Kinshaganov, your Dalad and Hay when? Dalad and Hay, the Rush thinks you'll pay when you based on when you shafted it, and the Kayfel you'll pay when you are convicted in court. The Pilpula v'charifta there, so the way he tries to explain this, is that, maybe the Rush's svara is that your chiyuvim only stem from your, how we evaluate you is based on when the chiyuv was incurred. So you incurred your karen when you stole, you incurred your dalad and hay when you shechted, Kayfel should have been with karen, but we have a pasuk, achila karen kenshaganav, that tells you that only one, I can only fill one slot at a time, right? And that Kayfel can't go with Karen. Karen alone is Shas Ganeva, and so Kayfel gets, once Kayfel is kicked out of the time it was created, it will be punted to Shas Hamad Abedin, right? That's how the Rush has his three-level Shita, which the Tur actually passes. Right? Really thinking that there's a difference between Kayfel on one hand versus Dalad and Hay on the other. The other Rishon, who really, really makes a distinction between Kayfel, Dalad, and Hay, is the Tosas Rid, which we'll try to squeeze in a few minutes. Yeah, what's the question?
If you want
to... No. He needs his fanfare.
Okay. No, it's just, I don't understand why the Pharisa has to go into explain that. I mean, isn't reading, especially based on what we just said, reading the question, it seems like the three tiers make sense and are intuitive. So it doesn't, like, I don't understand why we have to go and say that.
The problem in the Rush himself, and nobody really has an explanation for this, is the Rush gives two different reasons. At the same time, the Rush gives two different reasons why the Knessos are at a separate time from the Karen. First, he says, well, you could always admit to your penalty and therefore be pater. And then he says, and you only incurred your chi of Dalad v'Hay when you shechted it. So therefore, Dalad v'Hay goes based on the time of Shechita. The problem is, if you're really into the mode of the Knas Pater idea, then everything should have been at the time of the conviction. So the Rush says, yeah, Kayfel is at the time of conviction because you could have admitted it and be Pater. Dalad and Hay goes on the time of Shechita.
Dalad and Hay still be able to be mode after shechting it?
So that's one answer that the Mari Katz tries to explain how not.
But
why not? I could shecht your cow, run to Besdin, and say, hey, I stole and slaughtered the Oro's cow. Right? Theoretically, I could do that.
Okay.
Okay. So that's Adkan, right? So maybe Kayfel, the Rivid, will think that Kayfel goes with Dalad v'Hay. The Shinig Abbasas will think that Kayfel goes with Dalad v'Hay. Rabbeinu Yehonasan and the Rush will think that Kayfel is separate from Dalad v'Hay. Now let's look at the Tosas Rid, and it's awesome, and we've got to read it inside because it's too good. So what was Tosas Rid's question? Right, Tosas Rid asks. I spent like 2 hours in the middle of this before I realized you don't really need to read the middle of this. Tosas Rid has like up to four different editions of his sefer. He was relentlessly creative, and he's constantly coming up with new stuff. Similar to the Ravid. The Ravid Also, it's constantly reworking stuff. The Sefer Bali HaNefesh, familiar with Bali HaNefesh, which is the Ravid's work on Hilchos Nida, which is a path-breaking work because it's the first ever Sefer on the topic of Hilchos Nida. So they had this fancy new critical edition, which has not only footnotes, but it's footnotes, and there are other footnotes, and there are other footnotes, because the Ravid wrote four different versions of the Bali HaNefesh, and they're important changes. So they're constantly trying to figure out, what to put in the actual book and what to put in the margins. But Tosfos is like that also. So in what he does here is he says, he quotes first a piece from his first edition, Tosfos Rid, right? He has a question in the first edition. Then in the whole middle...
Wait, Mandura Kama literally...
Which is his first edition?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all in sometimes the publisher will tell you what part they're taking it from. So he had a question in his first edition. Then later on he realized his question was a bad question, and he spends a whole big middle chunk explaining why his original idea was terrible. And then in the end he says, no, actually my original idea was really good, and let me explain why. Which means we could skip the whole middle part and just focus on the very beginning and on the very end. It's 9:57. Who here has to leave at 10? Okay, so you know what? Let's stop now, and we'll pick, because it's too good to rush, and we'll pick up with Tosfos Rid next time. Question, should we do more, I know we're getting to Yontif and stuff,